So how was your week or your month? How did your week or your month go? Have you accomplished all that you needed to accomplish, all that you intended? Evaluate your week for a moment. Have you lived in a state of untroubled, undisturbed well-being? Has your life been marked by a sense of peace? Or do you carry about in you a sense of impending doom? You're afraid for the phone to ring. What kind of life have you lived? Sometimes when shopping, you come across a display touting good, better, and best. You have to decide what you hope to accomplish or what you want to do with the product to determine which one to buy. What kind of life do you want? What kind of life have you lived? A good life? A better life? Or the best life? God comes and deals with us intimately, personally, and wants us to come into His presence so that He can communicate with us, creating in us peace. That's the best life. There's only one source of true peace, and that is a real personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So evaluate this morning your heart. We're going to look, turn with me to Mark chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 13. Jesus has kind of gone out into the countryside, and the crowds have gone with Him. And He begins to teach them, Mark chapter 10, verse 13. And they were bringing children to Jesus so that He might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, He was indignant and said to them, "Permit the children to come to Me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." And He took them in His arms and began blessing them, laying His hands on them. As He was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to Him and knelt before Him and asked Him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call Me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these things from My youth up." Looking at Him, Jesus felt a love for Him and said to Him, "One thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow Me." But at these words, He was saddened, and He went away grieving, for He was one who owned much property. And Jesus, looking around, said to His disciples, "How hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at His words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." They were even more astonished and said to Him, "Then who can be saved?" Looking at them, Jesus said, with people it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to Him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed You." And Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for My sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Evaluate your heart. Evaluate your life. Good, better, best. A good life will be pleasing to other people. A good life will be pleasing to other people. The man comes up to Jesus and he asks him a question about life. He wants to have some answers. From outer appearances, everything was going well. He was young, fairly young. He had already achieved wealth. He had already achieved a place of honor. The common assumption of the time as well as now is that the prosperity of the rich indicated God's special favor. God was pleased with him, so he thought. From the other Gospels' accounts of this interaction, the man may have been part of the Sanhedrin. Certainly he was part of the ruling of the synagogue, part of the rulers of the synagogue. His life looked good on the outside. And if people look at your life, what do they see? Somebody who seems to have life together, that you're living a good life? But it's easy to look good on the outside to give off appearances, isn't it? It's easy to be one way in public and another way in private. It's easy to be one way when you're out showing who you think you are to the world, but when you get home and you're by yourself or you lay your head down to go to sleep and it's basically just you, how is it then? Well, the man admits to uneasiness in his life, an emptiness. For he asked about eternal life. He knew something was missing. He said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Well, I'll give him credit for this. He realized that eternal life is not something that you're going to earn. Eternal life is something that's going to be given to you. And so Jesus tries to focus his attention on divine goodness. He says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." And then he begins to put the man's focus on the horizontal commandments. Don't do this, don't do that to other people. Do not murder, do not lie, do not steal, do not do all these things that we oftentimes do to make what we think our life to be better. But the good life, even though it is the moral life and focus on the external, is not the life that you desire. The good life is easier than you think. All you have to do is this. Accept the impossible, do without the indispensable, bear the intolerable, and be able to smile at anything. And the good life is yours. The good life is what media advertising is all about. Now, I hope if everything holds together, I hope this afternoon to fall asleep watching a football game. I can guarantee you right now that there will be a commercial for a car. You know, if you had that car, your life would be good. Or there'll be a commercial for a toy, those things that we carry around in our pockets. If you had this, life would be good. Well, a desire for the good life is what prompts people to say, if it makes you happy, that is all that matters. So is your life a good life? Are you pursuing the good life? You probably are, but are you living a moral life? Are you honest in your dealings? Have you been pleasant to the people that you have a certain amount of power over? Has all that produced in you a sense of peace? Having that new car or that latest toy or whatever it is, has that really given you a sense of peace? No, it hasn't. The problem is, satisfaction with the good life requires a deadening of the heart to more. That there's something more. So evaluate your week. Evaluate your heart. The good life. The better life is the life lived with nothing between you and Jesus. Outward appearances said that this man was blessed by God, that he was pleasing to him. Perhaps he wasn't so sure. Perhaps he did sense that lack. Perhaps his heart wasn't dead to what was really going on. Or perhaps he was looking for a loophole. So the man wants more of an answer because he knows he lacks peace. He knows he lacks that sense that everything's going to be okay because God's in control. So the man was confident until Jesus mentions wealth, money. I wonder how this guy would have done when the stock market tanks. So he wants more of that answer. So the man was confident. But money was too important to the man, because that's what stood between him and Jesus. Jesus says to him, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And the man went away sad because he had a lot of money. I wonder if that's what's wrong with most Americans today. We have too much. We have too much of the good life, and it keeps us from a better life. Well, Jesus gives a word picture of how strong money's pull is on a person. He said it would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not an expert on camels, but they're kind of big, aren't they? And again, I'm not exactly an expert on needles, but the biggest needle I've ever seen, it would be hard for that camel to go through. Because it's that rich, it's that much of a pull. It's that much of a pull. Well, the truth of it is no one, rich or poor, can do enough for yourself to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples are astonished. They don't understand. Surely, then who can be saved? We've left everything. We've left everything. Who can be saved? Well, garden season's about over for us, and for that matter, or for that, I am too thankful. God gave us enough bounty. We ended up having to can some of it, which we normally do every summer. The one thing I know about canning is that if there's anything on the rim of that jar between it and the lid, that lid will not seal. The jar will not keep the food good. And so the rim is cleaned off carefully right before the lid goes on. Is there anything in your life that's keeping you between, that's come between you and Jesus? Your outer life is good. I think all of us would agree to that. But is there anything between you and Jesus? Well, certainly possessions can do that. Certainly the desire for personal peace. Maybe the greatest thing that stands between you and Jesus is the mistaken notion that being a nominal Christian is what God expects. When he said, if you'll leave everything, father and mother and houses and land and everything that you can think of, everything that you can see in your life, and come follow me, would you do it? Would you do it? And that's the question that we all have to come to grips with. There was an article I came across about William Wilberforce. Now remember, he lived in the early 1800s, actually born in the late 1700s in England. But he was quoted as saying that the bulk of Christians in his day were nominal. They pursued morality without first relying utterly on the free gift of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, on the basis of Christ alone. Nominal Christians. Is there anything between you and Jesus? So evaluate your week. Evaluate your heart. The best life. We've talked about the good life, the better life, now the best life. The best life is the life lived in utter dependence on Jesus. Discipleship is costly. It involves sacrifice and obedience. And see, that very well may be what Jim Ledford was talking about, what he thought at age 12, that if I can just be the nominal Christian, I'll go to church, I'll look good, I'll do what mom and dad say, well, at least for the most part, right? At least I won't get caught. But I'll just do that. I'll be a nominal Christian. We never use that term. We never use that expression. But unless we're willing to give everything up and follow Christ, then are you really a Christian? Not according to Scripture. Not according to Scripture. Well, Jesus has dealt with the man and then his disciples, and he takes him back to the encounter with children. Those who think they are first will be last, and the last will be first. Remember that children in that society held a very low position. They were last. But he said that the kingdom of God belongs to those who come to Jesus in faith. That the kingdom of God belongs to those who come with childlike attitude of weakness and helplessness and utter dependence. The kingdom of God requires the hardest. It requires a dying to self. And I tell you, the church is eaten up with a love for self. This church, and I dare say every church in America, we're eaten up with a desire for self. And we need to die to self. Remember this, that the blessings of the kingdom are received as a gift, yet you enter the kingdom in faith and obedience. Gloria Gaither said that children possess an uncanny ability to cut to the core of the issue, to expose life to the bone and strip away the barnacles that cling to the hull of our too sophisticated pseudo-civilization. She continued, one reason for this, I believe, is that children have not mastered our fine art of deception that we call finesse. Another is that they are so lately come from God that faith and trust are second nature to them. They have not acquired the obstructions to faith that come with education. They possess instead an unrefined wisdom, a gift from God. This morning, be truthful with yourself. How would you describe your relationship with Christ? I dare say that for some of us, if we would be honest, we would have to admit that it is non-existent. For others of us, we'd have to admit that it is cold or distant. Or would you honestly be able to say that my relationship with Christ is warm, that it is trusting, that it is close? Would you describe your relationship with Christ as childlike on your part? You know, I've thought about that this week. Childlike. One of the things that popped into my mind was a couple years ago, we got to be out in Oklahoma around some of my family, and I got to see my nephew, and he's got three little girls. The middle child is Kylie, and the way I remember her name is she's always smiling, Smiley Kylie. Well, a year before that, we had been out there and seen them and got along real well, and that day when she came, I grabbed her up, and as I recall, I held her down like that. Or maybe I slung her over my shoulder and held her by her legs. Those are my two favorite things to do with kids. Man, she freaked out. She started crying because she didn't remember who I was. Well, it wasn't very long that afternoon, later in the afternoon, where she came back to me and said, "Would you do it again?" Because she knew then that she could trust me. She was willing to let all of her life, so to speak, rest in my hands. Are you willing this morning to place all of your life in the hands of Jesus? If not, you'll never know that sense of peace that he offers. So which life are you living? The good life? Everything looks good. Are you living the better life? But there's still something in between you and Jesus. Or are you living the best life, where you're resting completely in his hands?